No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
My mornings are chaos. I need coffee that works as hard as I do. That's why I drink Everyday Dose, coffee with benefits. It's rich, delicious coffee boosted with mushrooms, collagen, and nootropics. Everything I need for focus and balance, ready in 30 seconds. The Black Friday sale is on. Get 61% off your first coffee plus starter kit, a free A2 probiotic creamer, and over $100 in free gifts. Plus, enter for a chance to win $100 cash or get your entire order refunded. Visit everydaydose.com/podcast or use code podcast at checkout.
Welcome into the Rockies Insider. I'm your Rockies Insider inside of Coors Field, Patrick Lyons, talking about a big Rockies win, not one that's going to change this season, but a memorable one at least. The Rockies' first walk-off win of 2025 to avoid their 12th sweep of the season in 22 series. Would have been their fifth at home. But no, the Rockies win. So much to talk about. Injury updates, Austin Gomber, Atlanta series. A lot of news to get to. Your comments, of course, in the chat. Get preferential treatment if you've got any of those comments. Make sure you let your voice get heard. But on Thursday, the Rockies, 6-27 at home at Coors Field. The worst record in the majors at home. The worst start that they had ever had across 33 games. They get down early, 7-2, with Antonio Senzatella not having his best stuff once again. Only lasted 4 innings, gave up 9 hits. That's now 110 hits across his 13 outings this year. Most hits ever allowed in the first 13 outings of any Rockies player. Gave up 7 runs. That's now, I believe, his fourth time giving up 6 or more runs. Walk 3, only struck out 2, only gave up 1 homer, but still put the Rockies in a losing proposition, down 7-2. Some might be asking, well, why wasn't the opener employed? Something that manager Warren Schaefer did on Friday to start this homestand. Ryan Rolison pitched the first inning, got through some of the most potent hitters in the Mets lineup. Well, according to Warren Schaefer, I did ask him about that in the pregame scrum on Thursday. Ultimately, it came down to 2 factors. 1, bullpen wasn't quite shorthanded, but Tyler Kinley and Zach Agnos were not going to be available unless an extreme emergency in this game. So they were already down 2 relievers. Anthony Molina was called up from AAA, so really, they were down 1 reliever. That being said, Schaefer was hoping that Senzatella could build on some of the momentum that he had on Friday with the 4 scoreless against the Mets. Unfortunately, he was not able to do that, and he continues to struggle. He has got an 8.47 ERA through his last 12 appearances. Remember, he started the year rather well. I think he pitched that second game against the Rays, which the Rockies did end up winning. Pitched good in his next outing, I believe, against the Phillies. Wasn't that? No, he gave up runs in that outing. But still, Senzatella building off of that spring training, which was historic. I think that was the lowest ERA a pitcher had ever had in Rockies history in their spring training, but not able to build up that level of consistency and translate it to the regular season. There is a little bit of a shakeup in the rotation, which I will get to. Not sure how much longer they are going to stick around with Senzatella. Sure, you might not like the odds of winning a ball game with Senzatella in the game, but I think some of the Rockies' decision going forward have to do with protecting some of their younger guys, you know, some of their younger starting pitchers, and saying, well, we might have a better chance to win a singular ball game with so-and-so in the rotation, with whatever early to mid 20-year-old starting pitcher in the rotation, but it might not be good for this player's progression, for their development. And so I think some of what you've been seeing over the last couple of starts for Senzatella has been more about a certain lack of depth in the rotation. Tanner Gordon is on the IL. Austin Gomber, as of today, on the IL. You also have Ryan Feltner on the IL. Dolander just came off the IL. So the rotation has been a little bit banged up, and the depth is just not been there as much as the Rockies really thought it was to start this season. So down 7-2, the Rockies eventually start to chip away. Three guys that contributed to this win: Jimmy Hergett, 2 1/3 scoreless innings. Juan Mejia, 1 2/3 scoreless innings. And Halverson, one inning. He ends up getting the win for his work in the top of the ninth. Mejia in particular, I asked Schaefer about that. He's been solid. I think he gave up 4 runs in an outing versus San Diego last month. He did give up 3 runs to the Mets in his second outing in a row at home against the Mets. So they had seen him already, gave up a homer there and 3 runs. But other than that, the dude's been really solid. When he came into this game in that seventh inning, there were 2 runners on and only 1 out. He got a 6-4-3 double play to end that inning. And then in the eighth, he worked around a walk to strike out all 3 hitters. So that was a Birdman-esque performance for Juan Mejia at a point in which the Rockies really needed that. The Rockies really needed that. So down 7-2 in the sixth, you had another home run from Mickey Moniak, 370 feet to left field. That was his 7th of the year, 18th RBI. He's quietly been one of the better stories so far for the 2025 Rockies. In the seventh, you had an infield hit by Jordan Beck, not the weakest of infield hits for him on the day. Get to that eventually. Sam Hilliard, draw a walk, batting 2nd. And then Tyro Estrada had crazy bad numbers with runners in scoring position this year. And he was hitting 3rd today, despite his .222 batting average and despite an even worse performance with runners in scoring position this year. That was another question I had for Warren Schaefer during the postgame media availability about the fact that Estrada really hadn't been good with runners in scoring position, at a .154 batting average since coming off the IL, .143 on base percentage. So his batting average was actually higher than his on base percentage, .231 slug. Really, really poor. And yet he was able to pull through with a 2 RBI double there and bring the Rockies to within 2 runs. And Schaefer said, you look at what Estrada has done in his career, and he's just finding his groove, and really hadn't found his groove until today. He does go 3 for 5 against his former club with that big 2 RBI double, even contributed to the rally in the ninth inning, which got started with a walk from Sam Hilliard, a single from Tyro Estrada. Ryan McMahon had himself a walk. Brenton Doyle did a good job to advance a runner. I think that ended up scoring a run there. You had Hunter Goodman. So the Rockies had 2 bullets. Their starting lineup did not have Hunter Goodman and Tyler Freeman. So you look at Antonio Senzatella on the mound and you think, this is going to be a hard one for the Rockies to win. Probably one of the more improbable games for the Rockies to win based on how the Giants had come from behind twice in the past 2 days. They were in the middle of a 7-game winning streak with their eyes on the Dodgers. Maybe that was the tell right there, but had won 7 in a row and was looking to put away the Rockies early, give their bullpen a little bit of rest. Hayden Birdsong was good, not as good as he was his last outing. 6 innings, struck out 12 Rockies, and I think that was his Coors Field debut last year. He was solid in a quality start, but the bullpen just couldn't get it done. Now, Bob Melvin was not using his best relievers, and a bullpen that has been really solid as of recent. They had a chance to put the Rockies away early. So Senzatella on the mound, coupled with no Hunter Goodman, who had 11 extra base hits, over the course of his 8-game hitting streak, had a ridiculous 1029 slugging percentage. In fact, no Rocky had 11 extra base hits over an 8-game span since Brenton Doyle last year when he was player of the month in July. And really, no one had done that since 2020 besides Brenton Doyle. And then Tyler Freeman had reached base a career best 10 straight games and had hit safely in 9 of his last 10 with a ridiculous 448 batting average. You didn't have your two best bats in the lineup going into a Senzatella start, and yet the Rockies kept fighting. They kept battling, and you had two opportunities on those two bullets. You had Tyler Freeman coming in that seventh inning rally where they scored two runs. You had runners on first and second with two outs. Unfortunately, he rolls over one, 4-3 put out, a crisis averted by the Giants. And then in the ninth with multiple runners aboard, I think we even had bases loaded at that point for Hunter Goodman and Randy Rodriguez, who was in there in place of Camilo Doval, who's now been the closer. He took over from Ryan Walker earlier this season. Rodriguez got the strikeout of Goodman before Orlando Arcia in a deep at-bat. It might have been pitch number 7. It was a full count. It was a full count with the bases juiced, the game on the line. Giants ahead 7-6. And Orlando Arcia, in a game, right, he kept things loose. He walked to contribute to somewhat of that rally in the fourth inning that got the two runs across. But early on in this game, there was a moment, I think it was, might have been the first inning, maybe it was the second inning, where when you throw the ball around the horn, the first baseman you typically throws it to the shortstop, who throws it to the second baseman, who throws it to the third baseman, and they get the ball back to the pitcher. Well, Arcia whipped the ball to Tyro Estrada at second base, who kind of wasn't ready. He was looking and was surprised. They were shrugging. They were pointing at each other. A little bit of levity, a little bit of positivity, a little bit of fun. And that's something that, you know, both Ryan McMahon talked about post-game and Orlando Arcia talked about post-game, trying to show some of these young guys to still go out and play this kid's game, have some fun, and not wear all of these losses and all of these games that you give back to the other team. That is just simply something that you can't do. You got to allow the young guys to feel good and not worry about the record. While the innocent in the chat saying, Juan looked pumped coming off the mound. Yeah, he didn't quite go as Jake Bird ballistic coming off after that third strikeout of the inning in the eighth, but he was shouting his mitt. He did shout. He was excited, and he should be for him in his career, despite the score, despite the fact that had the Rockies lost, had the Rockies fallen to 12-56, that would have meant they were in sole possession for the worst record through 68 games in any big league season to start. They would have gone past the 1932 Boston Red Sox. They won, and yet they're still tied for the worst 68-game start in franchise history. That was a question that was asked of Ryan McMahon in the postgame about, hey, knowing that had you lost, you would have been in sole possession. Well, first off, Ryan McMahon doesn't know that. That was not one of my questions. Ryan McMahon is not aware of that. They are aware, of course, the fact that this is amongst one of the worst starts in baseball history. That they're aware of. The specifics of all of that, no, not exactly. And hey, if we win today, where does that leave us in terms of the 1932 Red Sox? They don't know that. But immediately, Ryan McMahon did say when asked about, hey, a little bit of history on the line, he said, yeah, we know we are 13-55. He said that point blank. We know we are 13-55. That being said, you can't wear all those losses. You can't even get any of that back. The Rockies aren't going to be able to turn things around in any positive way. They have to play something like 50-46, I think, the rest of the way. It's even worse than that. But they have to be over 500 to avoid losing 100 games, and you can't do that with the way that they've been playing right now, with the talent or lack thereof on this roster, and without everybody clicking. This was a game in which the starting pitching did not click. This was the first time all season long that the Rockies had come back after trailing after 8 innings. The Rockies were 0-49 when trailing after 8 innings this season. Now, They are 1-49. Now they finally got themselves off the schneid, because we've been seeing it time and time again, and I've been talking about it time and time again on the Rockies Insider, that there are four legs to the stool that wins ball games. You got to have the starting pitching. You got to have good relieving out of the bullpen. Your offense needs to do something, and your defense needs to come through. And this was really one of the first games in which you had one of those legs of the stool not be strong, but the rest of the legs of the stool were strong enough to hold up the Rockies. In the past, that hasn't been the case, where they've been strong enough to do that. Rockies got tacos today with the walk-off and the 8-7 victory. That was a big one. The bullpen shutting things down for 5 innings. The offense doing their thing and the defense not making an error. There are a couple of weird plays where maybe you look and say, you know, at a different point in time, maybe is that made, but nothing egregious, nothing egregious. So that was a full team victory. And, you know, the veterans on this team, they are really trying to, you know, show some of these younger guys to not wear all of these losses. Tyler Kinley, I think it was the other night, it might've even been Wednesday night after, you know, his blown save, his performance late in the ball game where the Giants were able to come back to win 10-7. But Tyler Kinley stood in front of his locker and was almost willing, in a sense, almost not daring, because it wasn't any kind of negative connotation behind it, but looking at the reporter standing in front of his locker saying, please talk to me, because I didn't do my job and I want to talk about it. And I want other guys in the clubhouse, particularly the young guys, to know what that means, to stand up and say, I didn't do my job. I need to do better. Not just we need to do better, specifically owning it. And that was something that happened on Tuesday night when Zach Agnos blew that game. He stood in front of his locker and talked to the media. That's something that these young players are trained to do at the beginning of the season. For the most part, they do it. But in this really rough season where nobody should have to own any loss at this point, especially not any of the young guys, right? This is a failure of the front office for putting this roster together. And so, you know, there are young guys getting opportunities, but sometimes those opportunities means the spotlight is on you. And when you don't get it done, you're going to be asked about the worst start in baseball history. You're 23, 24 years old. You just debuted. You're now a big leaguer. And all of a sudden, you have to weigh all of that weight on your shoulders. That can be a lot. That can be really rough. So some of the veterans are trying to take that weight off these players and have a little bit of fun. That also was a change that I saw in the clubhouse. I want to talk about that in a second. Felix saying Ryan Ritter looks solid. He now has a base hit in his first 6 games in the majors. The last Rockies rookie to have a hit streak that long to start a Rockies career, David Dahl, with a 17-game hit streak back in 2016. So Ryan Ritter had himself a nice day at the plate. Didn't he have 2 RBI? He did. He got them on the board with 2 runners aboard, had himself a single. So he continues to play really strong with his 4 RBI. Batting average, just a shade below 300. So he's been great, doing a good job defensively. While the innocent pointing out 7 runs or more, 2 days in a row. Hey, Rockies fans, y'all are eating good right now. That's great. Luke, Rockies walk-off. Yeah, that's something that the Rockies have been missing, that I really felt that despite how poorly they had been playing to start the year, which has been the case really the last 3 years. 2022, they started off really well. But even 2021, not a good start. 23, 24, really bad. But then eventually, they caught a little bit of momentum at home. The last 2 years, they've won 37 games at home. The last 2 years, 37 games at home. So still under 500, but you look and say, hey, you know what? We win 4 of those close ball games. Now we're over 500. Now we finish 41-40 at home. Also, last year you had those 2 games in Mexico City, so I don't know how you want to tweak that math there, but basically they play about 500 when at home, and they've been extremely far from that at home this season. Now, maybe now, with a walk-off win, a little bit of swagger, a little bit, if you're not watching right now on YouTube, or if you're not going to go over and watch this, the video, I got beautiful Coors Field behind me. So if you're listening to the audio only edition of this, you're really missing out. You're really missing out big time. But it's really been that close. And I think now maybe they can have some momentum back at home, and they're able to come from behind and make these games a little bit more interesting. The games have been interesting in the wrong way for the past 2 days here at Coors Field, with the Giants coming back to win. But nevertheless, maybe the Rockies can use this to help shift their momentum just a little bit. Sure, those three wins in Miami didn't do anything. They lost the next five. But maybe there's something more to the positive play on the field. And how about this? This is an interesting stat. It's definitely a small sample size, but is it something? I don't know. I don't know. You tell me if it's something at Patrick D. Lyons, at Patrick D. Lyons MLB, and at Rockies Insider. The Rockies are now 4-4 when Orlando Arcia starts a game. Sure, that's three wins in Miami, but that is what you saw on Thursday with the walk-off win. So small sample size, but no one else over any eight-game stretch of starting games have the Rockies played a 4-4 or a 500 record with. So we'll see what happens with that, but the Rockies need that veteran presence to try and keep things loose. And so what I was going to say before was, in the clubhouse, the vibe wasn't totally different, I would say, on Thursday going into what could have been another sweep, this one against the Giants. But the Rockies have Binho in the clubhouse now. I think this is going to be a permanent fixture. LA has it. The Dodgers have it. The Marlins have it. And so there are two Binho boards. I've never played Binho. And some of you are saying, I have never even heard of Binho. Am I pronouncing it right? I don't even know. It's B-I-N-H-O. It's basically soccer, but with your fingers, and there's little pegs on the board. And I've seen it plenty. I know John Boy Media, you know, they do different things with that. But I had never seen one before. It was in the Rockies clubhouse. You had Juan Mejia versus Seth Halverson. Halverson won that one. Was there going to be a tournament going on? Maybe. That could be something that the Rockies need behind the scenes to keep things loose. That's not going to prevent them from losing 100 games. No. Could it prevent them from losing 120, 121? Again, there's no stats to back up that. That will happen, or that will be the case. But I think that is something, that is a change that needs to happen just a little bit, of keeping things loose. They're battling and they're being rewarded for those battles. And they're doing it for a guy that they know and respect, with, I think, a little fear in their heart as well. And not fear of Warren Schaefer, but fear of, man, is somebody else going to lose their job that we care about and that is doing their best? We need to do our best. We need to keep things loose. Rockies right now, keeping things a little bit loose. That celebration, I don't know who it was that fell down. I think there were two bodies on the ground during that celebration. I thought, oh gosh, I really hope nobody's hurt. That is not a good story. You come back and win the day after losing 21-0 to the Padres. Then you win on Mother's Day, and then Bud Black gets fired. You get a walk-off hit to stave off your 12th sweep in 22 series, and then someone gets hurt in the celebration. You do not want that. So the Rockies did not have that, I don't think. But they, like Ryan Ritter said, in the post game, you might have seen it on Rockies TV. I'll post that clip over on Rockies Insider on YouTube. He said it's going to be a happy flight, and it absolutely will be a happy flight. So Rockies keeping things a little bit looser than normal in the clubhouse. Brenton Doyle was playing against Hunter Goodman. Doyle had himself a good day at the plate, walked his first at bat, had an infield single. So did Jordan Beck. There's still so much more I want to talk about in this game. Most runs that the Rockies have scored, those eight runs, their most in about a month, right? They scored 14 against Arizona on May 7th, their most at Coors Field since they scored nine runs on May 11th. That was Mother's Day. You've got the 7-27 record, which with the win, yes, the Rockies have to go 30-17 to just reach where they were at last year. That 37-win season at home the last two seasons. They're now at a negative 119 run differential. Not great right now. Their previous worst start was 22-46 in 2005. So now they're 13-55, still 9 games worse than their worst record. Patrick, weren't you going to say something positive? Oh yeah, I was. What else we got? I did notice Senzatella threw 2 balls to the backstop. Rather, he threw 1 ball to the backstop today, 1 on Friday. That was, you know, a little bit unusual for him. The baseball gods, we talked about this in the pregame, that the Rockies, you know, the baseball gods haven't been with them. There was, during the rally on Wednesday night against the Giants, things just not going the Rockies' way, right? Bud Black might say that's baseball. Well, Jordan Beck hit a pop-up in the third against Hayden Birdsong at a point in which, you know, we're still early in the game. It's only the third inning, but with how well Birdsong had been pitching this season, how well he had done at Coors Field against the Rockies last year, and the Rockies' overall lineup, as I said, without Goodman, without Freeman, certainly you could have imagined a deep no-hit bid for Hayden Birdsong. And yet this pop-up, sky high, no Giants touched it. No Giants even put a mitt on it. I asked the official scorekeeper during this game if it would have even hypothetically touched one of the strings of a Giants player's mitt. That would have been enough to have ruled it an error. Alas, it didn't fall. It didn't touch any Giants mitt. So it just fell in. That's a base hit that has an expected batting average of .010. Now, 010 as a batting average means 1 out of every 100 pop-ups like that are a base hit.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit Hims.com/Hail Mary. That's Hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. Hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
And I asked Manny Randhawa about that from MLB.com, and who is a StatCast guru. Not a stat goblin, but a guru. He knows his stuff about the fact that if you look at every single expected batting average of every single game, there is never any zero other any never any number other than zero in this thousandths place. It always ends in a zero, which suggests to me we've got some rounding going on, right? It's never going to be it's never going to be a 287 expected batting average. It'll just be 290, which changes the math a little bit, because again, a 010 batting average, expected batting average for Jordan Beck on that pop-up, then means 1 out of 100 pop-ups fall in, when I think it's probably a lot closer to 1 out of every 500. So that was strange. And then he got lucky on that. And then conversely, a little bit unlucky in his final at-bat, drove the ball 420 to the deepest part of the ballpark. It's great. It was that was a double. Was it? Now I don't even have a double in there. Okay, I think it was Jordan Beck. Hit a double, 420 feet. And the law of averages say, well, you got lucky on one, you're going to get unlucky on another. It did fall in, but it would have been a home run in all other 29 ballparks. So the law of averages, and once again, Bud Black would say, that's baseball. Wednesday's loss, what's there to say? Cal Freeland, another quality start. I told you a couple starts back that he had been getting unlucky. His ERA, very high, but you look at his the expected stats, the expected ERA was actually a lot better. And so third straight quality start for him, 7th on the season in 5 starts since May 19th, has a 3.49 ERA. So he's been really, really good. In the chat, watching the Giants drop timely hits in the large all caps Coors Field outfield this series, just so glaring at how this team struggles. Yeah, the Giants, you know, looking at their lineup, I talking with some of the traveling beat reporters for the Giants, their lineup, you know, after Jung Hoo Lee, Willie Adames, who is starting to get hot right now. And then the three hitter Helio Ramos, now with Matt Chapman on the IL, it's a little smoke and mirrors. They don't really have the bats to get this done. So this would have been huge for them going into LA. We'll see with the NL West, first place in the NL West on the line. This was not what the Giants certainly would have imagined in their getaway day. But Freeland really good. We saw him shave the beard and immediately go out and have a great start. Zach Agnos, after having a rough outing on Tuesday, he did the same. Got rid of the mustache, unfortunately, did not work for him on Wednesday in that late rally for the Giants. But the Rockies did snap a stretch of 11 consecutive games at home where they scored five or fewer runs dating back to May 19th, second longest stretch where they hadn't scored more than five runs. There was a run in the summer of 2015 of 15 straight games where they just didn't have that big game on offense. So Rockies going into Atlanta now. We're going to get some scattered thunderstorms for all 3 days this weekend. We'll see what ends up happening with that. Strange times, again, expect that. They're all over the place. 5:10 on Friday, Herman Marquez against Bryce Elder. 2:10 afternoon game on Saturday, Chase Dolander versus Spencer Strider. That could be a very cool matchup. And then June 15th, Sunday, that's going to be Father's Day, 11:35 Mountain Standard Time. Chris Sale, the reigning Cy Young Award winner, who did take the L against Chase Dolander when they were here in Denver, he is going to start against Austin Gomber, making his season debut. We had a transaction before the game on Thursday where Carson Palmquist was optioned down to AAA. This is going to be good for him to stay sharp and get starts down with the Isotopes, so expect him to start down in AAA for the Topes. And now Gomber, after only two rehab starts this time around, he did start on opening night on March 28th before getting shut down again. Two four-inning starts down in the minors to rehab. Now he's going to be back in the rotation, taking Palmquist's place. You know, we'll see what happens the next time around. If someone like Tanner Gordon comes off the IL to take Senzatello's place, maybe Ryan Feltner, no real news on him. He's going to continue to throw bullpens and we'll wait and see what happens. Rockies perhaps showcasing Austin Gomber just a little bit at the trade deadline. And we're not going to see Craig Kimbrel in Atlanta. He just signed a minor league deal with Texas. He was good for Atlanta in the minors, over 18 innings. Had an ERA at 2, was striking out about 33% of hitters with Atlanta's AAA squad, the Gwinnett Stripers. But over the weekend in that series with San Francisco, I mean, it was technically a scoreless inning of work, but he got some help with the caught stealing and the pickoff where Atlanta just got swept. They just got roughed up by the Giants. He was let go, and one of Atlanta's catchers, James McCann, another one of those veterans, you know, kind of blasted Atlanta for doing that. He said, quote, "They really frustrated me and a lot of other guys in our locker room. We're very frustrated by it," McCann said to The Athletic of Kimbrel getting let go and sort of treated like that, coming up for one game and then just getting bounced. McCann continued by saying, quote, "It was strange to call him up for a day and DFA him. He's not just a run-of-the-mill reliever who became a journeyman after two or three years in the big leagues. He's a future Hall of Famer." So things right now really ugly for Atlanta. You know, you have the A.J. Smith-Shawver incident where it looked like he had hurt himself and, you know, was the coaching staff really paying attention? There are some rumors that some were falling asleep in the dugout. So Brian Snitker, I would say, is probably on the hot seat. Again, some injuries there. You got Jerickson Profar, you know, missing 81 games because of the PED suspension. You know, that being said, you know, they've had it rough and this has been a rough start. I don't know if a change in managers is going to change things. Freddie Gonzalez, now the new third base coach. You don't see third base coaches, you know, lose their position. So they tried shaking things up. It hasn't really quite worked. So it'll be interesting to see what ends up happening when the Rockies go there this weekend for 3 at Truist Park. Tovar news, nothing yet. He's probably going to end up needing more than 15 days. And really, the longer that this injury ends up lingering, the more you have to think that the Rockies are going to err on the side of caution and say, look, this is a lost season. Don't rush yourself back. Now, on the flip side, if you're Ezekiel Tovar, you don't necessarily want to sit on your hands. You want to continue to develop. You want to continue to get better. You want to continue to, you know, post for the back of your baseball card and develop and learn things. That's how you get better, is by playing. That's how you learn some things, is maybe even by playing a little bit banged up and not injured. There's a difference. Everybody's banged up. Everybody's hurt all the time. So that could be a value to Tovar. Now, the Rockies don't want that value. They're going to protect their asset, their investment, because he's locked up for a while. But still, Tovar's got a lot to do. He's got a long way to go before he even can sniff Hall of Fame. I mean, essentially, 6 or 7 more years. He's got to put together 6 or 7 all-star caliber years to even start thinking about going to the Hall of Fame. That being said, in order to do that, he's got to get his first all-star game out of the way. It's not going to happen this year, right? Just not enough time to put up those numbers. But he's thinking about his future, and you don't have a future if you don't have a present playing actively. You also don't have a future if you're playing through certain injuries and making those situations worse. So, you know, it's a tightrope. It's absolutely a tightrope to see some things. Also in the chat, how long do they keep Michael Tolia in Albuquerque? That's a great question. We saw him with that 7 RBI night. You know, they're not getting a ton of production from Keston Hira so far. They are, as I said, with Orlando Arcia, getting something out of him. They are getting, you know, contributions of the veteran variety out of first base. Not a typical first baseman. He's a shortstop. So that's strange for him to be out of position like that. But if they're winning ball games and Tolia is getting better, I'll phrase it like this. There's no rush to get him back. There's no rush. Tolia has things he needs to work on. He needs to continue working on those things. And once he shows the Rockies brass that he's done that enough, they can bring him back and have him start to contribute and build upon that 20 homer season from last season. It's interesting because the Rockies, I like this. I don't think this is propaganda. I think, you know, this is a nice touch, but at the beginning of the game, when they show the leaders in the American League and the National League, who's got the most homers, most RBI, most strikeouts for pitchers, you know, lowest ERA, they started showing the Rockies leaders. So after seeing, you know, most home runs in all of the National League, you see most home runs on the Rockies. They're not trying to trick you and say, oh, wow, look at Hunter Goodman is leading all of the NL with his 11 home runs. They're not trying to do that. They're just saying, here's who's doing it the best for the Rockies. And Michael Tolia, with his 20 RBI, I think that's still third most on the team. His 6 home runs tied for fourth most. So he obviously had some success at the plate. But there are other things behind the scenes, I think, that he needs to work on, that the Rockies want him to work on. And I think he's doing those things now. So as long as he continues doing that, yeah, I think, you know, we will see him again in the near future. Final question. I'm going to stick around here if you're watching live on YouTube. But no, Orlando Arcia had never played first base before. He had never started a game at third base or even played, I think, since 2022. So the Rockies are utilizing him as a utility guy at this point, the former Atlanta shortstop who goes back. Maybe he'll have some revenge against Atlanta, just like Tyra Estrada was able to do that on Thursday during the 8-7 win. At Patrick D. Lyons, at Patrick D. Lyons MLB and Rockies Insider over on YouTube. Thanks for dropping by. Appreciate the momentum. But that momentum, it's only as good as my next show. So, of course, I'll talk to you.